Good morning. It's good to see everybody here with us this morning. It's nice to see we have some visitors. If you're visiting with us for the first time, we have love to give you a little present this morning. If you want to stop by after we're done, visit with me for a minute. Love to get that to you, or somebody else would. Also, if you're visiting this morning and wouldn't mind just filling out, there's some cards in the pews in front of you. If you have a Bible with you this morning, if you want to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, that's where we'll kind of land this morning and where we'll visit together from. One of the things that I've noticed is there's a question that we should ask that we often don't ask enough. A question that's very integral to how we live life, and that question is this: who is God? If I were to ask you, who is God, who would you tell me that God is? Now see, we don't ask that question often enough, and often we simply think that we know the answer, that we have the answer that we need to live life. The problem is that's like asking a fifth grader if they have all of the math that they need to know. You know, I understand that a fifth grader knows how to add and subtract, multiply and divide, and for a lot of things, that's a lot of math. But if you do anything in life that requires math, what you find is that, well, you need to know how to add and subtract fractions. You need to know how to add and subtract numbers more than just whole numbers. You've got to figure those things out. And if you ask a fifth grader if they know all of the math they need, they're certainly say, yeah, I don't need any more math. But yet there's so much that somebody needs to know in life, and a fifth grader just doesn't know all of the skills that they'll need to know. And if we simply say, I know all I need to know about God, I can explain God well enough, well, then we're like a fifth grader. Because as much as I've studied in the last 20-some years, the Scriptures and about God, there are things that I continue to learn. There are new things, there are new ways of understanding God that I find myself. And if you simply say, I know everything there is to know about God, I've heard the Gospel, I've been baptized, and, well, that's not the end. You see, if Jesus simply told the apostles to go and make converts and tell them to be nice people, then you're good. You don't need to know anymore if that's all Jesus told His disciples to do. Yet in Matthew chapter 28, He says, go and make disciples. Make disciples. Make students. Make followers. And teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And so there is so much more that we need to learn. You see, take a fifth grader with all of the math skills that they have and ask her to build you a house. And just with the training they have, ask her to build you a house. Now, would you live in that house? Now, suppose that they go on and they study some geometry and they study some algebra and maybe calculus and a little trigonometry, and then they begin to understand more than just adding and subtracting, multiplying and dividing. They begin to understand fractions, and they begin to understand angles, and they begin to understand weight loads and weight distribution. Wouldn't you feel a little bit more comfortable living in that house than the one a fifth grader builds? Well, as we turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 this morning, I said 4, but it's actually chapter 3 where we're going to start. What I think that we'll see is that there is a necessity that we continue to learn and continue to study and to continue to understand more and more about God. Paul writes this to his young protege Timothy. He says, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things that you have learned, and be convinced of knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desire, and will turn away their ears from the truth, but will turn aside to myths. You see, Timothy needed to know some things, and we need to know some things, and here's what I want you to know. That we need to know more about God than just His promise of salvation. And so this morning we're going to ask the question, who is God and why it matters? And this is what I want you to see this morning. We're going to see who we believe, we're going to see why we believe what we believe, and we're going to understand why it matters. Who is God and why does it matter? You see, we begin with why we believe. As Paul is writing to Timothy, he says, you know, you grew up in the faith. You grew up with the Old Testament, Timothy. You grew up with the Scriptures of Israel. And you know those Scriptures. And they've been a part of your life. And Paul is telling Timothy, he says, you know the truth. You know the things that matter for this life and for the next life. And for us, we might talk about the doctrines of the church. And when we talk about doctrine, it refers to the beliefs or the teachings that characterize a particular group within the church. And so there are some distinctive things that we believe and that we hold to be true. And we'll talk about doctrines. And if you're around long enough and you stick with us, you'll hear us teach and we'll preach on these doctrines, these things that we hold to be true. And the doctrines explain to us how we're supposed to live. How we're supposed to live in light of what the Scripture teaches. And so one of those doctrines that we believe is in the doctrine of salvation, and part of that is that we are called to submit ourselves to baptism. And so unapologetically, we'll preach and we'll teach about the necessity of baptism for those who hear the Word of God and believe what it says. And believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that Jesus died on the cross and He rose from the grave to pay the price for our sins. That He calls us into community with Him and with one another. And the entrance into that kingdom, as He talks about in the Gospels, the entrance into that kingdom is through baptism. And so we will preach that, and we will teach that doctrine. And in case you want to know, doctrine comes from the Latin doctor. You see, originally a doctor wasn't somebody that you went to cure you from illness. A doctor wasn't somebody who knew your body inside and out and could help you when you break a bone, or help you when you tear something, or help you when you get sick. A doctor originally was one who taught. And particularly, it was one who taught the tenets of the church. One who taught the doctrines of the church. And so, we look at people who knew the Scriptures, and they were considered to be a doctor, a teacher. And so we get doctrine, it's the teachings of the church. And it goes a step further, and its doctrines are based upon our beliefs, upon what the Scripture says. And so we have some different beliefs, and you know, we can look to the church, and one of the beliefs of the church is the Apostles' Creed, or the Nicene Creed. Basically, what they do is they take the beliefs, they take the doctrines of the church, and they say, how can we state these succinctly? How can we talk about God the Father, God the Creator, God the Son, God the Spirit? How can we convey the work of Jesus Christ? And they come up with this statement. that became the creed. And so we have that, and we, many of those things we build our church upon. And most churches today would accept most of, if not all, of those creeds. Then you have our statement of faith. If you go to our website, there on our website, we have a statement of faith. And if you were in my Sunday school class for most of a year and a half, we worked through and tried to understand what that statement of faith meant. Statements about believing in God and who God is. Statements about Jesus and who He is and who the Spirit is. And what the church is supposed to be about. And we worked through those statements. I've got on my shelf a set of books by a very intelligent man who was part of our Christian church heritage. He was a longtime professor at Cincinnati Christian University, Jack Cottrell. And he wrote a series of books, and he titled them God the Creator, because when we look at God, one of the things that we have to know about God is that He is the Creator. And then he wrote the second one, and it was God the Ruler. And we have to look at the fact that God is the ruler of the whole universe. That as the Creator, He is the one who rightfully rules. And the third one is God the Redeemer, because we have to understand God's process in the redemption of mankind. And the fact that He did His redemptive work through Jesus Christ. Mark Deaver, the author of the book that I'm kind of basing this sermon series that we're going through now on, as we look at what makes a healthy church, when he's talked about doctrine in the chapter he talked about, he said this about God. He says, the God of the Bible is a creating God. The God of the Bible is a holy God. The God of the Bible is a faithful God. The God of the Bible is a loving God. The God of the Bible is a sovereign God. And these are doctrines, these are things that we build the church on and build our understanding of who God is. And it's important that we know what we believe. It's important that you know and you understand what you believe. And it's important that you understand what we believe as a church. And that's why we continue to preach and teach the doctrines that we hold dear. That's why we take moments on Sunday morning to go through, and somebody gets up and they share about communion, because we believe in the importance of the fellowship of the table, and that's one of the doctrines of the church. We believe in the importance of prayer, and that's why we take a time of prayer and praise. That's why we open the service with a scripture and prayer. That's why we pray as we go through these different things. Because we believe in that. That's one of the doctrines of the church. And we will continue to preach and teach those things. Because it's important that you know and understand what you believe. And it's important that you know and understand what the church believes. But why is it important? Well, it's important that we know what we believe. It is important, or more important, to know why we believe what we believe. You know, it's important to know what you believe, but it's even more important that you know why you believe it. You know, Paul was looking at Timothy, and he was telling them, you know, this time is coming when people aren't going to stand for the truth. He says there are times when people will come in and they will deceive and be deceived. And those deceivers will try to teach. But Timothy, you have to know the truth. And so we need to know why we believe. And I was going to just title this morning's sermon Theology, but I was afraid that any of you who picked up a bulletin this morning would see the word theology and say, man, I'm out of here. My kids joke because I've got a book that I call my light reading. It's about 1,600 pages. It's a hardback book, and if I hit somebody with it, it'd knock them out. I call it my light reading. But what it is, it's a systematic theology. It talks about who God is. It talks about who Jesus is, who the Spirit is. It talks about the doctrine. But what it does is it takes it a step farther. Because theology isn't just about what you know, it's about studying who God is and why that's important. Theology really simply is the study of God. That's what the Greek word theology means. Theo is God and ology is the study of. So, it's to talk about, it's the study about who God is first and foremost. And so we take the Scriptures and we look through the Scriptures beginning in Genesis and ending in Revelation, and we try to come to an understanding of who God is as we put together what Genesis and what Revelation and what Matthew and Malachi, what all of the pages of Scripture say about God. And so from that we come up with the doctrines. We study theology, we study who God is, because it's important to know what we believe, but it's more important to know why we believe it. And so we study what we believe to get a deeper understanding of why. And that's why we continue week after week to talk about and teach about the same things. That's why year after year you'll hear sermons about baptism. It's why year after year you'll hear sermons about different aspects of who God is and why that matters in your life. Because it's important that you understand why we hold these beliefs. But when we study theology, we study about God, we also talk about what theologians, those who study these things, we talk about Christology. Who is Christ? Who is the Messiah? And then we'll talk about Jesus, and we'll talk about the work that Jesus did, the salvation that He offers because He died on the cross. And we'll study what the cross means and how it's impacted by what the Old Testament says. And then we'll look at what Paul writes and how Paul writes about the cross, or how James or Peter or John write about the cross. And we'll study the cross. Or we'll study Jesus' teachings and what they say about Him as God. Because the teachings of Jesus very much say that He is God. And then we'll study how that fits together, that God can be one, but yet God is God the Father and God the Son. And then we add in the third person of the Trinity, and we'll talk about the Spirit. Or what we would call pneumatology. The study of the Spirit. And we look at the Spirit and who the Spirit is and how the Spirit works in us and through us, and how the Spirit worked in the Old Testament to empower prophets and to empower men like Samson, the judges, to do their work, and how the Spirit was present there, but how He's present in the New Testament. And we'll study the things that the Scripture says about the Spirit at work in our lives. That He brings gifts. That He comes and He produces fruit of righteousness within us. And that He is the seal that God gives us that is a promise of salvation. The fact that the Spirit comes in according to the Scriptures, and when we are baptized, the Spirit comes in and cleanses us from within, and we have that beginning cleansing that then becomes the basis for the cleansing that we continue to work at to be holy, and how the Spirit enables us to do that. And so we begin to study theology. And it's important that we continue to study and we continue to present these things theologically. And there are some questions that we can ask. You know, if somebody tries to sell you something, if you're walking down the street and somebody comes up to you and says, Teresa, I want to sell you this beautiful watch, you probably would ask some questions, wouldn't you, Teresa? Like, who are you? And where did you get the watches? And are they real or are they just some ripoff? And you would ask some questions. Now, we can ask those questions in two ways. One, we can ask them audibly. We can say, who are you? Or we can ask them visually, and we just look and we say, you know what? This guy's walking down the street trying to sell watches, and he really looks a little shady, and there aren't any watch stores around. There aren't any jewelry stores around. I'm not sure this is a good deal. Now, on the other hand, if, if you're walking down the street and somebody has a nice little booth set up and they're right outside of a jewelry store and they say, "Hey, will you be interested in buying a watch, Teresa?" You would ask some questions again, maybe audibly, maybe visually. You just look at, "Oh, hey, they're in front of a jewelry store. And they've got this nice table and things are set up and it says the name of the jewelry store on this little awning on the table. Hey, this guy's probably legitimate." Now, if you were in the market for a watch anyway, you might say, "Hey, this might be a good deal." But you see, we ask these questions of people. Who are you? What's the deal with what you're trying to sell or trying to get me to buy into? And we have those things, and here's the thing. I want to tell you that it's important for you to ask the same questions of the church. You come in and you say, "Who do you believe God is? Let's tell me about God or tell me about Jesus Christ," and we will continue to try to answer those questions honestly and openly, and we will take the Scriptures and we will look at what the Scriptures say, and we will try to build a case from Genesis to Revelation and everything in between for who God is, who Jesus is. Because you need to ask those questions. Who is God? Because if you don't know the answer, you won't be likely to accept the truth. And so we ask the question, why do I believe what I believe about God and faith? There are two more questions that a preaching instructor gave. He says, we have two questions to ask. What does this text reflect about the nature of God who provides redemption? And what does this text reflect about the nature of humanity that requires redemption? In other words, what's the story of God in every particular text? And when we come to the Scriptures, those are two things that I am always trying to point out. Who is God? And if the text isn't specifically about God, it's who is man that needs redeemed? Well, what is it about man? What is it about you and me that we need a Savior? And yeah, every text is going to answer who is God or who is man. The story isn't about you and the story isn't about me primarily when you pick up the Bible. It is a story about who God is. Now we play a part in that story because of God's love for us. And the story tells us about how much God loves us because the story says beginning in Genesis that we are sinners. That Adam and Eve sinned, and everybody since Adam and Eve has sinned except for the man Jesus Christ. And the story is about God's love and His redeeming love for you and for me. And so what we're doing is we learn to connect what we study with what we study. We learn to connect what we study with what we study. So what we study this week will connect with what we study next week. And what we study next week connects with what we studied 6 weeks ago. And what we worked on 6 weeks ago will connect with what we talk about 6 weeks from now. And so what we do is we come in and as we study week after week, I hope that you're learning to connect what we've studied already with what we continue to study and what we will continue to study. Because it's all one story that's interconnected. Kind of like pieces of a puzzle. You look at every individual piece, and every individual piece in the box of a puzzle is supposed to fit with the others. Unless you're one of those crazy people like me that likes challenges, and so you buy the puzzle with 6 extra pieces. Have you seen those? Yeah, they sell them. You look at the box, and it says there are extra pieces in this, and you're like, that sounds like a good idea. That's challenging. But when you come in here, I want to tell you there aren't any extra pieces. The pieces that you look at, the things that we look at today, what we believe, why we believe them, and how that works, that connects with what we looked at last week and the fact that we will continue to preach the truth and we will continue to work through the Scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, and every sermon that I preach will be based on Scriptures, not on current beliefs on psychology, not on current political matters, not on those kinds of things, but it will be based 100% on what the Word of God says. Now, we might touch on some of those other things when they relay and relate to the truth of Scriptures, but the Scriptures will always be the foundation. Because here's what I know, that there are men who will come in and deceive people. People that maybe they're deceived themselves, or maybe they just want a following and they're willing to say whatever it takes to get somebody to follow them. And I want you to know the truth. And I want you to be firmly grounded in the truth. So that when somebody comes up and they try to teach something that is not true, that you will be able to say, no, hold it. That's not right. And if somebody comes in and they want to tell you things that simply tickle your ears, they want to make you feel good about yourself every time they preach. But I want you to understand the truth. And here's the truth. I'm not afraid to tell you some things that are hard and some things that are difficult. And I might... No, not me, but the Holy Spirit might step on your toes. And the Holy Spirit may some days even knock you over and run you over on His way to do what He needs to do. But if that's the case, it's because it's the truth of Scripture. It's not because it's what I like. And I want you to know the truth. And so I will preach and teach theology. And it's important that you know why you believe, because what you believe connects what you study with life. When you leave here, I want you to know that the things that the Scriptures say, the truths of the Scripture, impact and they connect with your life. It's not just about coming in and getting filled with information. It's about coming here and being encouraged and being challenged to go out and to live the life that God has called us to live. It's about coming in and knowing the truth so that you can go out and you can apply the truth to your own life. And you can look at the situations that arise and the opportunities that arise in your life and you can say, this is the truth of God and this is how it relates to my life. You see, Paul was telling Timothy that there are all these things that are going to come in, you know, that might sound good. You know, there are some things that sound good in the world, but we have to be able to take the Word of God and to reprove and exhort and correct and train in righteousness. And so it's important that you know what you believe, and it's important that you know why you believe it. But here's why it's important that you know what you believe and why you believe it. Because it matters as we grow closer to God. You see, when we study theology proper, when we study the Scriptures to gain an understanding of God, what we do is we grow closer to God. How many of you are married? How many of you are married know more about your spouse than you did the day you got married? Okay, I think I saw everybody's married's hand. I hope so. How do you know more about your spouse today than you did the day you got married? Well, you begin to spend more time with them. And you begin to ask some questions. And you begin to notice some patterns. And you begin to understand some things about them. You know, I've learned in 21 years of marriage that if I want to be on time for something, I tell Brenna we need to leave 15 minutes before we actually do. And some days I tell her a half an hour because she's getting wise to the 15-minute thing. And then we end up someplace early and she's like, we're early. And I said, hey, we needed to be on time. And to be on time, I had to tell you we had to leave earlier than we did. And I learned that over the period of our marriage. When I was late for church a couple times. And when there were a couple other things that we really needed to be there and we were a few minutes late. And I grew up, I'm always there, and Brenna knows this about me, that I want to be everywhere early. If I'm 5 minutes early, I'm on time. If I'm 4 minutes early, I'm late. And so Brenna knows that there are times she's got to make me more patient, and so she just purposely takes longer in the bathroom, I think. Or longer in front of the closet trying to decide which outfit to wear. But you know, we learn that about each other in marriage over time. And it's important because now we know how to interact with each other. I used to get frustrated when she would make me late. Now she gets frustrated with me because I just sit there and I don't worry about it half the time. I sit there and read a book and she comes out and says she's ready and I say, well, you got to wait for me to finish this part of the chapter. I got to come to a stopping point. I've learned to deal with it. I've learned to be more patient. Well, we learn about God when we study theology. And so you come in here, and one of the things I want you to do is I want you to draw closer to God, and I want you to understand more about Him. And Timothy says, you know, or Paul says to Timothy, I want you to continue to grow in sound doctrine, to grow in the truth, to grow in what you already know. And so we grow closer to God. That's one of the reasons that it matters that we know what we believe and why we believe it. It's also important that we know what we believe and why we believe it because it helps us to avoid error. It helps us to know the truth and to avoid the error. Because it's easy sometimes to look at a passage of Scripture and say, man, that sounds really good. But when we read it in context, we say, oh man, that isn't quite as good as I thought it was. You know, of Philippians, where Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Sounds like a great verse, but here's the thing, we need to understand that we can apply that Scripture inappropriately. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me doesn't mean that if I try hard enough in Christ, I can reach up and touch the ceiling when I jump. Because as the movie of the 1980s said, white men can't jump. I can't jump. For two reasons. One, I never could jump very high. And two, it hurts my knees now when I do. I can't do that even if I trust God and believe God. What Paul is talking about in Philippians, he's talking about the fact that, well, there were times when he didn't have anything. I didn't have food. I didn't have clothing. I didn't have the finances I need. And there were other times when I had an abundance, when things were going good and I had plenty of food and I had plenty of clothes. He says, and I have learned to be content, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can make it through any situation like that because Christ gives me strength. And you have to know the Scriptures to know the truth. And so theology, we come in and we study theology, who God is, because it matters. It helps us to avoid error and it helps us to avoid false teaching. And third, it matters because of evangelism. And we're not going to talk much about that this morning because that's a sermon that's coming up in the next couple of weeks. But here's the thing. What we study today, we apply what we study today to what we study tomorrow. We connect them together. Next week's not evangelism. Next week we're going to talk about the gospel. What is the gospel? What do we believe and what do we teach about the gospel or the good news of Jesus Christ? In 2 weeks we'll talk about evangelism. Why we believe evangelism is important and what it means. But we connect what we believe and what we study to what we study. And we connect what we study to the lives we live. And it's important that we know the truth so that we can share the truth with others. I want you to know that as a church, we will always strive for two things. One, we'll always strive and we will always do our best to keep our theology in line with the Word of God. We will do our best to make sure that error does not creep in. I will do it as I study the Scriptures. The elders will hold me accountable for what I teach and what I preach. And if I slip into error, they're going to correct me. And if you think I have made an error, you have the right to approach me and ask me a question about it. Because I won't always say things correctly. And sometimes I need somebody to ask me the questions about what I believe and what I'm teaching. And so we will always do our best to keep our theology in line with the Word of God, even if it's unpopular. And two, we will always teach you theology. We will continue to teach you how to apply that theology as well, but we want you to know what you believe and why you believe it. We want you to know the why behind the what. So who is God and why does it matter? Well, God is the creator of all things. God is the ruler of all things. God is the redeemer of all mankind. It matters who God is because we were created for a relationship with Him. But without the gift of His Son, we could never have that relationship that we were created for because of sin. Because God loves everyone, He gave Himself in the person of Jesus Christ so that everyone who would come to Him in active belief could have an unending life with Him. Who is God? God is the loving Creator who redeemed us for Himself. This morning, if you have never yielded yourself to His Lordship, we're going to give you that opportunity as we sing this next song together. If you're ready this morning to make that commitment, won't you come together as we stand and sing this song? But if this morning you just need somebody to pray with you over a situation in your life, I would encourage you to come as well. And this morning, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, I want you to carefully consider this. What do you believe? Because what you believe makes all the difference in the world and in eternity. Let's stand together as we sing this morning.